Blog Talk Radio.
I've been a throw up the text in a and I can put you in.
Good evening and welcome to Dark Matters Radio. I am the sorceress Cagliostro, blood sorceress, necromancer, mogul in the hands of nine. I bring this show, The Women You Think You Know, to the air at this time in history to discuss the deep work, to explore and even to reveal the life of those of us who have chosen life work which is assumed to be other than it is. Clarity and proximity, or maybe even a lack thereof, are everything. You think you know me? Do you? You, the listening audience, do you? Do you think you know me? Do you think you know other women who choose a path in life which must be guarded by those who don't understand that their lives are surrounded by shards of glass? Do you know women in life who reveal aspects of themselves which other women hide? Those women are brilliant. Despite the work we do, we remain qualified enough to be untouchable. So what's the point of this work? What's the point of presenting oneself in a forum such as this when untouchability is one's stock in trade? I've written 46 books on the subject of sorcery and associated tendrils. I've done countless hours of teaching and discussing and sharing, and everyone thinks they know me. But do they? Do you? Does anyone know me? We are on Dark Matters Radio, discussing the women you think you know. I'd like to introduce you to my co-host and a very close friend, Tyler Faith, adult film star, entrepreneur, director, and scriptwriter. I had the honor to meet Tyler during a moment. Hi, Tyler.
Hi.
I had the honor to meet you during a moment when it was a good idea for our work to come together. I'm sure you remember that. And
I sure do.
It created a desired outcome, and it was one of the greatest things and the greatest choices of my life. Because this woman right here, those of you who are listening, has made powerful life choices and has created a body of work which has presented her brilliance into the universe in a glorious and free choice path. And we can all learn something from her. Tyler and I will be chewing it up for the first part of this show, and then we're going to bring in Rick Weisbrot, self-protection educator. And I've known him for a very long time and trust him tremendously. But here's the deal. Everything Rick can tell you, you can use to save your life. So we'll bring Rick in at some point. But I'd like to jump in and welcome Tyler Faith to share this airspace with me. I'm so honored. Hello, lady.
Hello, sweetheart.
This is
something. I'm so excited.
Right? We've been working on this a long time.
Yes.
Now. This has been tremendous. You know, the subject of the show, well, the sort of overriding umbrella of the show is Women You Think You Know. And I'm sure between the two of us, we've had lots of experiences where people think they know us from the work, and they take sort of, I don't know, they make decisions to come closer without, yeah. You want to talk a bit about that? I want the audience to hear your voice.
Well, I think it's funny because people think they know you on a personal level, too. It's just, it's not even just a, oh, I know them, like, from watching, you know, TV or something. It's they think they actually know you on a personal, in-depth level. And sometimes it's a little scary, but it's actually amusing too at the same time. So
do you think it's because the intimacy of your work and the intimacy of my work? I mean, you deal with people's sexuality and their fantasy, if I may say that, and I deal with people's fantasy about changing their life through sorcery, and I use blood a lot. So, I mean, what do you think it is that gives people the hubris to step forward?
Well, I 100% think that's what it is. It's very, very intimate, both things that we do. Mm-hmm. So people, you know, just to watch somebody have sex is very intimate and, you know,
yeah,
fun and erotic. And, I mean, I don't know, it's exciting. So, yeah, I guess that, you know, when you bring somebody in and let them see, like, you know, just the core, that type of like sexuality about you. And, yeah, I think maybe they think that.
I think we both cover the line across the taboo. And I think that in obvious ways, both of us present that. But that's what the work is. There's nothing artificial about your work. There's nothing artificial about my work. And that's what's so important is, you know, when people say blood sorcery, you know, I get all kinds of crazy imagery in my emails. People send me pictures of their blood. They send me pictures of their dick, you know. I can't imagine I get more dick pics than you, though. You must get
more. I mean, someday we'll have to, like, go back and forth and count and see how many we each get, you know. Plus, if we'll have to compare dick pics.
Don't you feel like they have this requirement for you to see them? Do you ever feel that way?
Yes, I do. Yes. And to be completely honest, I mean, I think dicks feel great. I don't think they look great. So I don't necessarily want to see people's dicks, you know, in my emails or even, you know, just in general. I don't know.
Right.
I think a vagina is very beautiful, but a dick is just, I also don't want
people's vaginas in my email box. You know, I just don't, I don't feel the need. It's okay. But I feel like they want us to see them as people. I feel like they want us to reach out and, like, understand them. Do you have that experience?
I do. I feel like that, too. I think they want us to feel humanized, you know, like humanize them or something. But, you know, a dick pic isn't going to get you there. So that's going to –
Do you have lifer fans, people who have been fans of yours forever?
Yes. Yes, it's funny because, like, sometimes when I dance, like, I'll see the same people in the same city. And, you know, this happened in New York. I was dancing there not too long ago, and this guy came in, and he literally had Polaroids from 2002. It was hilarious. It was great. Yeah. Yeah.
Does anyone ever cross the line with you and think that they're in a relationship with you that you know of?
Not that I know of. Maybe secretly in their house, like in their basement, you know.
Or in their car, which seems to be another location. People think they have a relationship with me all the time.
I can see that. Yeah.
I think it's because I have 46 books and they hear my language and they understand that. And some people have had consultations, so it is a very one-on-one kind of thing. But people think that I am – they never say I'm their girlfriend, but they'll say I'm their confidant. They'll say that a lot of people tell me, men and women – you know, this isn't about men bashing at all. Men and women tell me they have sexual fantasies about me. And it's so interesting because the people who say that tend not to be the people I've actually done the work for. So it's a very broad spectrum of people who think they know us. But I think this problem goes further, though. I look at, you know, I worked in a criminal morgue for 6 years. I mean, you know my history. I've been around a lot of things and in a morgue where everybody who wound up there and it was very busy was murdered or this kind of thing. And I'm just bringing that up because I've seen, like, the stalking thing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have had stalkers, and I don't know if you have or if you might not even know. But it does happen.
Yeah, I know it's happened. I don't think I personally have had to deal with anything like that on a scary level, you know, I've had people that probably, you know, will cross the line a little bit if I'm doing a signing or something and think, like, because they've seen me a few different times. It's like, okay, we're not friends. Like, we're not going to hang out afterwards, and, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. We're not friends. I say that a lot. I take that line from Karen from Will and Grace, or I say, look, I'm not looking for more friends, not looking for new friends. I say that a lot. And, you know, the thing is, I'm not a person who desires to be off-putting. I don't really have a care about that one way or the other. But I do feel that as women in paths that are not considered average, normal, or acceptable, which is another story altogether, then we have got to be careful. I heard you laughing about that. People approach you in a certain way, I'm sure. You want to talk about that?
You know, it's funny because I, I, I don't, I'm super friendly and I'll talk to anybody. So I'll approach people myself, you know. So I'm very talkative when anybody comes over, you know. I'm not like really one of those people that has a bad day and I don't want to talk to them. I mean, if someone gets a little too like friendly, then I don't like that. You know, like to push the boundaries, it's not cool. But you know,
do you ever get any
judgment?
I
don't
want to
say no.
Yeah.
But of course, if that's just a normal, maybe not normal. I just feel like people are like that, just in general. Just by nature, you know, stereotype. Yeah. I mean, maybe not even on purpose. They don't even know.
Well, you're also extraordinarily beautiful. I'm not saying that, you know, to stroke your ego, but you are. And women who are extraordinarily beautiful are not always embraced in every circumstance. You know, so that goes to the point of what I'm saying. Also, it's interesting when people talk to me, there are sort of two groups of people. People who understand my intellect. I consider myself someone with a grade A mind. People can rip that up later if they want. I don't care. And then there are people who think I'm just sort of like a Rhodes Psych, which you put this, you know.
Stop it.
Which is, I get that a lot. I get that. Did I just lose my mic? Oh, that's not good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I didn't lose my mic. I get a lot of people who, ask me to go to events, like go to Salem and do card readings. And the point of why that troubles me is I've worked very hard in my life to show the intellect of my work, to show the science of my work, to show that kind of thing. And it's my dog in the background, of course. It's it's off-putting to have people not grasp that. But that's maybe my own sensitivity.
Well, I mean, for anybody that's written one book, never mind 45, I mean, come on, like, hello. You obviously have some street cred right there, so I'm going to go with you.
You would think. What do people think about your life? What do you think they think?
I think they think I have sex 24 hours a day. 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, although that sounds like fun, it sounds kind of exhausting at the same time. it's funny, people have actually said that to me, like, oh my God, you just must have sex constantly. I'm like, oh yes, and I have pillow fights too. You didn't know that? Yeah.
Oh yeah, right. That's
when
what they
girls
think
get
is always
together,
happening.
They have pillow fights. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you. I've never had a pillow fight. Even when I was a kid, I never had a pillow fight.
I honestly don't think I've ever had a pillow fight in my whole life. Well, this goes to that picture that people think about women who are beautiful or women who are in adult trades or people who are exotic in some way. I get that all the time. Oh, you're so exotic. They think that, you know, if we're hanging out with another woman and they stay around long enough, we might have a pillow fight and start making out. You know, that's how that's how it works. do you feel safe in your life?
I do feel safe. Yeah, I feel like I've tried as hard as I could. You know, because I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, but when I first started, it was very. Nowadays, I feel like people are more accessible. Like, people are very accessible, you know, because there's social media and all that stuff. And you can actually just go on Google and find somebody's address or, like, those sites, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a little bit scary for anybody.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've tried to separate my personal life and my work life as good as I can. You know, I never really ever talk about my personal life. I don't tell anybody if I have a boyfriend, if I don't have a boyfriend, if I, you know, like, it's none of anyone's business, you know.
Sure.
So, but I mean, this is the day and age where like things are very, very accessible.
Yeah, they certainly are. It's very easy to find someone. I've had people publish my address a couple of times. I had somebody do a book review I never read my book reviews, like, never. The only time I ever read them is somebody calls me and says, listen, somebody said something you might have a problem with. You should go look at that. And if it's an opinion, I don't even care. You don't like the book, you know, prop your air conditioner up with it. I don't care what you do with it. But there was one moment where somebody published some things about me on Amazon inside of a book review, and it took a whole day to get it down. And which
really?
I found very, very disconcerting. Very disconcerting that somebody would do that, and that a big company like Amazon. And then when I went back and had a sort of regroup conversation with them, I said, you know, it took me almost 40 hours to get to get a book review down that has my address in it. And they were, of course, very sorry and all their stuff. But one person said to me in that sort of group of people, you know, sometimes when you write books that are, I said, don't even finish a sentence. Don't even finish a sentence.
I know exactly what you're going to say, and that makes no sense.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, people think that they have some sort of entry into my life because of the kind of work that I do. Yeah. They get very angry if I won't do things that, well, I have some very clear lines in the sand. Nothing involving children unless it's a healing, and then I have to have the parents or guardians' absolute permission. And obviously all the other things that don't involve children, right? And the other thing is I don't do love magic. I don't even use the word magic, but people call it love magic. I don't do it. If you cannot get in a relationship.
What would that be anyways? Like
somebody has a crush on someone or they're very interested in someone and they just can't get play from that person. Or somebody broke up with someone and they want that person back and that person now is like a wife and two children. You know, these kinds of things. I will not do any of that. I think it's vulgar. It's just my opinion. I mean, if you look at some of the other things I do, then you'd say, well, why is that vulgar? But I can't get involved in that. That's an ugly scene for me. I have no patience for it. So people are surprised that I won't do that. But it is what it is. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people in your life who are surprised that you're not a party girl.
Thanks. I mean, you're up later than I am. It's in the, you know. It's like 9:30, and I'm like, oh, geez, what time is it?
Sometimes I'm looking at my phone, and it's like, oh, I can't call her. Like, you know, the sun is fully down.
I mean, you know, when I had those two shows in New York, it was like 12 and 3 a.m. I'm like, what do I do? How do I stay up?
Just call me. I'll give you
I literally had to take a nap. I know. Yeah. Well, the 3 o'clock in the morning, you're my girl. You're my go-to at 3 a.m.
I say that to you all the time. If something's going on at 3 o'clock in the morning and you feel like talking, I'm the one to talk to.
That's right. You're the one.
Do you feel like when people meet you that they then have that enhances their sensation of knowing you? Do you feel like it sort of stacks on itself? Because I have stuff to say about that, too.
I don't know. I mean, that's a really good question. Because, like, you know how sometimes you have a fantasy about people, somebody, or, like, you just, you know, I'd love to meet this person. And then you do, and it ruins your whole, like, oh, I wish I never met that person.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope people don't feel that way about me, but you never know, right? You know, you think, like, oh, my God, I would love to meet her. And then they do, and I'm like, oh, God, she really doesn't have pillow fights. So they be like, oh,
right.
No.
But you see that causes a potential danger because when you do, and the point of this subject matter is that we are talking about doing things as a career. I don't like the term for a living. It feels a little, you know, dredgy to me, but we're doing things as careers that other people could not even imagine themselves in, or they could imagine themselves in, they don't have the other mechanisms to get in. When you disappoint fans, and by disappoint fans, I mean show up as a real person. This can be very upsetting. I mean, I did readings for someone through his entire divorce. Mostly we did, we weren't working on the divorce. This was a couple of years ago. We weren't working on the divorce. We were working on his tension, his stress, all this stuff, right? And we got to the end of it, and then he was going to be in a state that I was in, and we met, and he said, you know, I'm kind of shocked. I thought you'd be taller and maybe, you know, a little curvier. And I said, Well, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Hold on.
Yeah,
let me just apologize.
I thought that was a good moment.
What is that comment?
Yeah, I get that kind of thing every now and then. Or you're hotter than I thought you'd be. That's great. I'm a scientist. Let's stick with the fucking work. It's like that kind of thing. Yeah, it's very.
I probably would have said, well, you know what? I would have thought your dick would be bigger, but I don't see a bulge in your pants. So
I didn't trip when I came over to the table, so I don't really know what happened.
Yes.
You see, but that's the issue. And Rick's on. I'm going to introduce him in a minute. But that's one of the things that I have to, in my own head. You see, I'm Italian. I come from a mob family. I'm ready to engage at all times. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's where I go. Like, I have an oh, yeah mentality, which I've had to really work on. Not to suppress it, but just to know when to use it. And someone says something to me, I just want to fuck them up. I just can't help it. I just get, you know, I'm very confrontational when I need to be. It's not always a good thing. It's confrontation.
But that passion shows through on many other things. So there you go.
Good point. And to that point, I'd like to introduce Rick. Rick is on now. Rick, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Sorceress. I can hear you.
So excited that you're on. This is great. Rick is a self-protection educator, as I had mentioned in my intro. And Tyler and I have been talking about how people perceive us in this launch show. We're just sort of starting this subject matter. And one of the things that we were talking about is how people perceive us when they finally meet us, as opposed to her films and my books and all this kind of thing. And as a person who deals with self-protection, and awareness, which is a huge part of your story, mm-hmm. you know, jump in. What do you think about all
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I do want to jump in because I want to address the Amazon support system you were talking about,
uh-huh.
where it took 40 hours.
Yeah.
What I do is the exact opposite of that. Basically, people who I train or I educate, most of the time, I'm not going to have a lot of time with them. You know, there are the occasional people that will be with you over the years, but for the most part, I have to give people clarity on how to act and in the fastest, shortest amount of time. And essentially, you've got to give people reasons. You know, techniques are... doesn't really matter. It's mindset is everything. And so most people, unless they're from a mob family, right, they're not used to violence. You know, the majority of people out there are not martial artists. Most people have not encountered violence. So it's like, how do you get someone to respond to a potentially violent situation when they have no reference point? And that's essentially what I have to do in the shortest amount of time.
That's huge. So when you address that and you say most people have not had a violent conflict in their life, is probably true, I would guess. So you're
well,
really
let's put it this way: there's people who have had trauma, and so they know what violence is, but there's a lot of people who can't respond because of trauma.
Hmm. That's
so
tremendous.
you have to give someone the ability to dig deep and say, okay, if not for you, what are you willing to do to see your loved ones again? And it's like I liken this to like CPR. It's a skill, you know. You hope you never need it, but if you need it on that day, it's good to good that you have it. So initially, it's like. It's a serious topic, but you don't want to freak people out. Like it should be, you know, it's play to your audience essentially, you know, and every audience is different, and you have to be able to, which I'm sure you find with what you do, right?
Yeah,
everybody's
that's very
different.
Interesting. Yeah, play to your audience. That's very interesting because I have, as you know, a lot of books. Some of them are much more direct about the use of sorcery than others. Some of them are dealing with dream entering and revenge. A lot of them deal with revenge, honestly. The new one, the 81, the one that I call it 81, but it's the 21 sigils for that use chaos and bad behavior. I encourage people to have fits and freak out when they're doing the work. They are very confronted by this. And I often get communications from people that say, oh, yeah, so now I'm going to go out and hunt. And, like, I have to go, whoa, wait a minute, what does that mean? You know, it's got that kind of thing. But I'm sure that Tyler's work brings people to that place, too, even if you don't know it, Tyler. Do you know about that?
You know, sometimes I don't even see past, like, what I do. Like, I sometimes don't even realize that people watch it and, like, get, you know, I don't know. It's sometimes hard for me to think that somebody would act like that, you know.
Do you sometimes think about the audience? I would imagine you can't. It would drive you crazy.
No, it wouldn't drive me crazy. Sometimes I think about it.
Yeah.
It was, no. I mean, maybe in the beginning it would drive me crazy, but, you know, like in the beginning I used to. Oh, since 2002, 20 years, yeah. Yeah. 20 years.
20 years. Really?
20.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to put it in perspective for you. I started doing movies when there was still VHS tapes. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's scary.
Wow.
Some people don't even know what a VHS tape is, so.
Do some people fall out of the business, sir? Can you hear me?
No, what did you say?
I'm freaking up a little there for a second.
Oh, okay. My phone is freaking out. Some people fall out of the business because of these kinds of things.
People
I think you've been in it longer
reasons.
Than a lot of people are.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you don't go in with, like, a strong mind and, like, a good head on your shoulders and, like, a goal, you know, that you're going to make
mm-hmm.
a career out of it and you're not going to just use it for, I don't know, partying and doing drugs and just, you know, supporting a party lifestyle, then it's not going to last long. It's going to eat you up and it's not going to be pretty, you know. So,
it's sad. And you told me you knew you wanted to do this, which I thought was a brilliant thing, and I want to bring it up. Because most people think, and I do think most people think this, that people who are in the adult professions wound up there. And sure you hear that a lot. Yeah. Yeah. So even my work, people think, oh, you know, you couldn't do anything else. So you're like a whatever weirdo you are. I could have done anything else.
I mean, I don't know. You could have just wrote books your whole life, you know?
Yeah, I could have just written 46 books. You know, I could have just done that. Rick, what do you do about people's perceptions? You got a stalk or something like that. Where does that go?
Well, first you have to recognize, obviously, I mean, there's a lot of people that just don't speak up.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks it's the boogeyman. You know, it's like, I need to defend myself against somebody in the street. I mean, that may happen. But you know what? More often than not, it's somebody you know. You know, it's a relationship. It's your neighbor. It's someone
uh-huh.
who's obsessed with you.
Uh-huh.
And so, number one, you have to recognize that you have an issue. And then number two, then you have to figure out how do I deal with this in a safe way, you know, because what I teach is not fighting, right? Fighting is consent. There's no consent here. You didn't consent to be stalked. You didn't consent to violence. You didn't consent to any of this. So this is not like a contest where, you know, we glove up and we got weight classes and all that. And so, number one, being aware and de-escalating. You know, everybody says, I love, you know, a lot of seminars that people have for self-defense. It's like, well, be confident. Walk confidently. I mean, that's bullshit. I mean, if you're not confident, that's not going to happen. You're fronting.
That's like,
and then
that's
people
like
say,
love yourself. You know, those people say, oh, just love yourself.
Yeah, just love yourself. So what I say is, okay, try this. Listen to sounds as you're walking. Can you distinguish different sounds like a car horn? Can you name the people walking on the block? Like there's a couple, there's an old couple, whatever. And you know what happens? As you begin to do that, guess what? You're switched on. You look aware. But you don't look like you're nuts or you're fronting.
Wow.
So it's just simple stuff like that that people just don't think about. And just getting back to dealing with different people, if I'm dealing with someone who's been through trauma, sometimes me patting you on the shoulder saying good job is not the way to go, because touch may be the last thing you want. So you really have to read who's in the room.
Awareness all the time.
Now I have a question. Would you now, when you're teaching these classes, do you know somebody's background, or is that like a prerequisite? Like,
no,
do they need to know that? Or
when people come to me privately, then yes, absolutely.
Okay.
But when I'm walking into something, you kind of have to be a quick study, because not everybody's on the same page. And,
right.
You know, so you just kind of have to feel it out. And then I run through a whole series of games. Like, I have one game called Deer in the Headlights, you know, where I tell people, okay, we're going to form a circle, and I'm going to walk towards you, and you're just going to move out of the way, and please don't hit me, because people who are beginners freak out, and if I come towards them, sometimes, having learned from experience, you're going to get hit. And it sounds simple enough, until I start walking at you like a maniac. And you know what? Like 99%, sometimes 100%, they don't move at all. So we have to find ways to break that down. I literally had to play the Gypsy Kings at the last seminar I did to get people just loose and moving. It was like a dance class. But, you know, you find what works.
Wow. Do people think this could not be happening to them?
Absolutely. Oh, that's the number one. This is not happening. If I close my eyes, it's all a dream. And, you know, this is the problem. Because, you know, this just happened. I did a seminar. A woman told me she was in Penn Station. A homeless person came up to them, started screaming. They were up against the wall, and they didn't move. And they couldn't move. And eventually the person stopped. And I said to them, you know, you're really lucky, because you just gave up all your power. If that person wanted to kill you, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
When they said they couldn't move, what did they mean?
They were frozen in fear. They couldn't act. So we worked on that. I would walk towards them, and they moved. But we made it fun, because you don't want to freak them out. They're already freaked out enough.
Right.
And then it's like people say, oh, I could never stick my finger in someone's eye. Well, actually, you could. You can, and you may have to.
Yeah.
But we need to work on that. So,
right.
Lots of variables.
I think there's a reality problem. I think it's a reality problem because, yes, there's a lot in the news right now about the escalation of violence, and women are terrified specifically, or maybe only women talk about it. I don't know. But I see all this escalation, even this thing that happened in Idaho, which they're now saying, this guy, I don't want to get into this, but they're now saying this guy saw one of the people who was alive. She closed her door and panicked and went into a frozen mode for like 7 hours. And he happened to have left.
Oh, my God.
You can't blame people for acting the way they act or feeling the way they feel. But if you come to me, I can help you to get through it.
Right.
But first you have to, you know, recognize there's something you want to learn.
Yeah. Well, people want to learn stuff, and I know this for absolute certainty in my business, right? People come to me to learn. And then when they learn and they use it and something happens because they used it correctly, some of them go into that terror moment where they say, I can't be a person who has this ability. I can't be somebody who can do this. And I would think that sort of crosses over everything we're talking about. I think about those kinds of moments when I think about Tyler's work as well, because people think they can't do things. They can't show things. They can't exist in the truth of who they desire to be. And then in Rick's work, you know, people, they hear your story about what they should do, and is the follow-up real? I mean, can they do it? Do you think you affect people? Because I know I do. I'm sure Tyler does, but I want to talk about that too. But do you affect people, Rick?
And here's a simple one. You know, I tell people, hey, guess what? If you're on the train or the subway and you're on the platform, maybe take off your earbuds.
Yeah.
And somebody actually,
very good point.
Somebody told me that they avoided a situation where a crazy person was running around because they realized that they had their earbuds in their ear and they took them out. And then they're like, oh, now I know what's going on. So did that affect the change? Because I taught them that. Yeah, I guess it did.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
dramatic, but it's the simple things.
Well, people get killed that way all the time. People get killed that way all the time. People walk up to people who are place themselves in a place of deafness. And in that place of deafness, anything can happen to you.
Or ego. Ego is another great
yeah.
one.
Where, wow.
Where you think it's self-defense, but guess what? You're fighting. You're arguing.
Yeah.
You're participating. And you're going to go to jail along with the person you're fighting. Because it's not self-protection. It's not self-defense. It's ego. It's a tough one. It's a real tough one.
It is a tough one. And existing in the world with certain talents is tough. People know you and they know your work. And I'm wondering if it has ever happened or if you think it could happen, that because of your work, somebody would come at you with a certain amount of bravado or maybe your demeanor. I mean, I've known you a long time. You come into the room. Rick comes into the room, and you know he's there. He's like ready to defend himself. And I don't mean in any kind of bullying way whatsoever. I just want to say this about you. There is a sensation to not pick this guy if you're going to do some crazy shit.
I always had this theory, and here's my De Niro theory. I'm more afraid of the guy, not the guy that's throwing 10,000 kicks a day. I'm afraid of the guy that has a De Niro-like mentality that only knows one thing. I'm going to take my finger. I don't care what happens. I'm going to stick it in your eye. That's a
yeah.
scary individual. And
yeah.
here's the other thing. You have no idea what anybody knows. So when your ego gets in the way and you decide, like, you know, that's my parking spot or, you know, whatever, you cut
yeah.
in line. Well, guess what? You don't know who that person is. And that could be the end of you. And, you know, and now your family's missing you, your kids are missing you, whoever. So there's a lot of, like, areas other than just people who are, like, scared. There's the opposite of people like, I know everything. You can't show
yeah.
me anything. You can't show me how to fight. And I say, guess what? I don't teach people how to fight. That's not what I do. That's the last thing.
What, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, if all you know how to do is fight, then you don't know self-defense.
Wow.
That's
huge.
That's a really good point.
And here's the other thing.
That's huge.
It, to me, self-protection should be the right of everybody, right? So you shouldn't have to be a mixed martial artist training hours every day to be able to walk away from a conflict. You know, and I think that's where the people that I kind of or gravitate towards me or vice versa. I'm not going into a martial arts school and trying to show somebody something because they don't want to know it, and I don't want to show them. That's not who I'm going. That's not who I work with. I work with people who have fear.
Wow.
So that's my population.
That's your mission right there. Rick, where can people find you?
I have a website. If you can spell my name, Rick Weisbrot, WEISBROT.com, you can find me.
I'm going to put that up on the page for the show. Rick's going to be joining us twice a month, jumping in just like this. And this was great. Thank you, Rick. This was a lot.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
A lot on my mind. Yeah, no, absolutely. You're a regular. You're part of the team. All right, Rick, I'm going to put your website on the – Tyler, do you have any questions for him before he goes?
Not right now. I don't, but, I mean, I wish I could take one of his classes.
Well, I'm sure you can.
Well,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an easy guy to find, and, you know, I teach individually. I teach, you know, all over. So that's not too hard to do.
You know, I have this
yeah.
idea that at some point we'll do some visuals for this show and get together and maybe do some of that. That would be great, Rick.
That would be
and
fabulous.
I would also recommend to Tyler lots of coffee for staying up at 3 in the morning. But that's what I do. That's just me.
You know, I mean, I actually did the nap thing. You know, I said, you know, let me go to sleep, and then I'll try
but
to get
it. But then you stay asleep.
It worked.
But sometimes you just stay asleep.
Sometimes I do just stay asleep. Yeah.
All right, Rick, thank you.
All
right,
thanks.
We'll put up
thank
your information,
you.
And I will see you. I'll hear you in 2 weeks, but we'll talk before then.
You got it.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. Right. Bye, Tyler.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rick.
Let me click that. He's great, isn't he?
Oh, my God. Super, super interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really, really good. I mean, and you know, it is true. Like, I always, like, remember, like, my grandmother telling me, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of
uh-huh.
your surroundings. You know, she would always
uh-huh.
see that. And,
yeah.
I mean, this is also, you know, before, I mean, the earbuds and stuff, I get it, because people are so clueless. Like, they're on their phone. They're not even looking up. They're walking across the street. They have the earbuds.
Correct.
It's, like, the complete opposite of awareness,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Complete opposite.
Like, they have
Absolutely.
No idea if a car hit them. You know, they wouldn't even know what color it was.
Happens all the time, I'm sure.
Happens all the time. Exactly. So that it's good to remind yourself though of that, of be aware of your surroundings, you know, and that's what I took from what he said.
Yeah.
So I was like,
he's
okay,
great.
You know what? I need to. Yeah, totally.
He's great. He recognizes trauma. He's like, he's just really great. He's, you know, he's taught kids. I mean, he's just amazing. He's an amazing guy doing amazingly important work, which is what we're doing with this show. We're talking about important work. We're talking about freeing people in a lot of ways. Look, I'm not a particularly altruistic person. I'll tell you that. I am very selfish. I am very self-centered. And I don't really give a shit about most of the people on this planet. But when I'm your friend, I'm your friend till death. And that's it. Or when I'm doing work. And when I'm doing work with the client, that client is forefront on my mind all the time. I do everything I do with 100% awareness. So when I hear
that
Rick talking
about
that.
True.
Yeah. You happen to know that.
Yeah. I happen to know that firsthand, yes.
Yeah. So when we talk about awareness, and what you do fascinates me so much. I mean, the power in it, the strength in it, the choice of it fascinates me. And I don't mean like a weirdo, you know. I'm like not
no,
having a weirdo
I get it,
moment
yeah.
with you. I'm just fascinated.
No.
One of my very close friends for years, who has since died, with Ed Sharp, who owned the Pink Pussycat Boutique in New York. And I worked for Ed 1,007 years ago, let's just say. Maybe it just feels that way. But I was very young, and I came up in this world where I was helping him with sell adult toys and films and all kinds of, so I have none of the filters a lot of people have. Like, this is very in my life. The whole sexuality thing is very in my
mm-hmm.
life. So it is not confrontational for me at all. But you and I and Rick do confrontational work. What do you think about that?
I mean, I try to think that I don't do confrontational work. But you're right, because some people, you know, a lot
yeah.
of people, either they don't accept it, and that because they're closed-minded, or they don't want to tell anybody they accept it, you know, and it's okay.
I think
okay,
it's more that
you know?
One. I think it's more that one.
And,
yeah.
And I think, exactly. And, I mean, who wouldn't want to get paid to have sex?
I don't
and
know.
And have a great time.
Had I thought
you
of
know,
it earlier?
Like, I mean.
If I thought of it earlier, I might have considered that. You know, why not?
It was like a no-brainer. Like, come on.
Yes.
I mean.
However.
It was. Fun.
You said something
it was fun.
To me once that was so brilliant. You said you look at your work and you do critiques on yourself and you say, maybe I should have done this, maybe I should have done that. People don't think about that in your work. They don't think
no,
it's a
you're
consummate
right. you're
professional.
Right.
Yeah, you're a consummate professional.
Mm-hmm.
People don't think about that. They think, oh, you know, like everything's an amateur film. You know, two people having sex. Well, it doesn't work that way. This is a heavily directed game, is my understanding.
Yeah, it's hours and hours for, like, you know, a 20-minute scene or, you know, like
yeah.
days.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we would have, you know, like, movies with scripts, that would take, like, days, weeks.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Of long, long, long time shooting. So, I mean, there's a lot, and some of them were like big budget movies. Like the movie Pirates that they did was $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
They spent $1 million on a porno. So,
Why not? You're making quality material. It costs money to make quality material.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
I think that there's, when I meant confrontational, what I meant is people confronting themselves, not you. They're saying, you know, when they talk to me, they're like, oh, do you deal with Satan? No, but if I did and I could get you out of that legal problem, would you give a fuck? You know, it's very interesting.
If I had a phone number, would it bother you? If it was on my dial?
My favorite thing, which is just really a side comment to this whole show, is when people say to me, I want you to help me summon Satan. And I say, listen, I don't know Satan, but I would guess if you summon Satan, it's going to be much creepier, much bigger, and scarier than you think. You'll probably die trying. So I do tell people that. But what I meant by confrontational in your work is you're making people confront themselves.
Yeah.
You're not intentionally doing that, but that is the outcome. People look at these materials and say, you know, if they can focus on just the enjoyment factor, great. A lot of people can. Same with my work. A lot of people can't. They say, you're looking at two people having sex on film or whatever is going on, and you're saying, well, how is this possible? Who could do this? All this kinds of stuff. And people do a thing, and this is a point I want to get to, with your work and my work, where they fuck themselves over so hard they lose the enjoyment.
Yeah.
And that's something that interests me.
Yeah.
And I know that it happens. That definitely happens.
Oh, yeah, definitely happens. And it's sad because sex is beautiful. It's wonderful, you know, and everybody does it. So that people
or
make it
they
so
should.
Taboo. And maybe if they did, they wouldn't be so hard, you know what I mean, on themselves.
Right,
or they wouldn't be so hard on, like, life.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, we've taken in this society, we've taken basic things and made them taboo. We've made sex taboo. We've made using your own energy to affect change, like I do, taboo. Even defending yourself. There's a lot of people in prison for having shot someone in their own house who entered their house. So we have we live in a society where what is sane and what keeps us alive and gives us pleasure has somehow slipped into this category called taboo. Very weird.
Yeah, flip the script.
flip the script. Absolutely. Yep. So how do people find you when they want to enjoy your work? How do they find you?
Well, they can just come to my house. They can Google my address.
My door is
open. No, I'm just kidding. If you're cute, though. No, I'm kidding.
Don't do it. Don't open the door. They will come. They will turn up. Mm-hmm. They will.
I just moved to a new place.
20 minutes ago. During the show.
20 minutes. During the show. I packed it up and hit the road, Jack.
So
you can find me. I have an OnlyFans. It's OnlyFans Tyler Faith. Or my Instagram is Tyler Faith Official. And my Twitter account is Tyler Faith For Real. So
fantastic.
Pretty easy.
Fantastic. Yeah. And all that's going to go up once the front page is completed, which should be next week. So
awesome.
I just want to say this show is going to be free for all of January, and then when we get to February, it will be behind a very affordable subscription service base wall. So, Tyler, anything else you want to add, or you good?
Good. I'm excited about this, so I'm very excited about it. Yeah.
In the future, we're going to add some guests, too. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Yes, we are.
I'm just chatting.
I can't wait for the guests.
Yeah, the guests are going to be great. My phones are pinging. My dog is snorting. It's a whole thing. Look what's going on. And also, we will be doing, once we get onto the pay platform in February, we will be doing, there'll be a second tier where people who want to see more of us or see the visual, not just the audio. We'll be doing some shorts where we're talking about things that were said on the phone and this kind of on the show, and this kind of thing. So that will be great. And all that will be on the website, which is now sorcerescagliastro.com. If you can't remember that, I can't help you with it. So It's my second site. My first site is the Cagliostro, the Iron Ring, which is the merchandise and sorcery site. The second one, sorcerescagliostro.com, is my site where I am making all the digital materials available, this, the app, that kind of thing. So great first run, I must say. This is exciting.
Yes. Yes.
And we're going to be doing this show the first and the third Thursday of every month, with us together with Rick jumping in and some guests. There will be one additional show on the second Thursday of the month where I will just be talking about hardcore sorcery with people who do that work. And, you know, it's going to seep into our show eventually anyway. Tyler, there's nothing I can do about that. So, you know how it is. All right, so thank you for being my co-host. I love you, I adore you, and I'm crazy about you.
Yay.
But I'm not going to come to your house.
I love you.
I'm not to come to your house tonight. Thank you. All right, so we will post this, and we'll you know, we'll be tearing it up from here on out. Thank
we'll
you.
Be back.
Good night.
Yeah.
Good night. Bye.
Good night.
I've been a throw up the sex in a.